Good morning, everybody. We continue with our exploration of karma, and I'm going to share my screen so we can start with that wonderful prescription for spiritual alignment together. Here we go. I invite you to just get comfortable as we take this time to open our minds and hearts to whatever we came here to learn about today for our own week ahead, our own application of these spiritual teachings. I'm going to take one affirmation at a time, and I invite you to affirm it within yourself each time. We are aligned with the presence of God within. We are protected by God's love, wisdom, knowledge, and grace. The God consciousness within helps us discover more about who we are. Thank you, God, for the gift of spiritual intuition. Thank you, God, for aligning our conscious, our subconscious, and our superconscious mind. And so it is as we share our presence here today, as we share our presence with anyone watching the recording. We just put that light and love and energy out here and now and beyond. As we gather in one purpose today. So it is. All right, we are talking about the fairness of karma today. One of the things that some of us have joked about on Thursdays and other times is, oh my gosh, karma just can seem so confusing and it can seem so random. But the more we learn about karma, the more we see that it's really the third dimension and seeing things from a third dimensional perspective or a human perspective that is makes everything seem random. The more we learn about karma, the more sense it makes, the more we can settle into the fact that everything's happening for a reason and our job is to take care of whatever is in front of us to take care of for ourselves. So I want to regroup with desire because, again, karma and desires go hand in hand. Desires and aversions go hand in hand. Anything that we're holding on to and have any emotion around, which we'll talk a little bit more about later today, is karmically related and something for us to look at. And Jane Elizabeth says, you are working in the best interest of your soul when you understand and realize in your own life that karma has a purpose and it's playing a purpose in your life, in your world. And in case you didn't get it the first time, just want to reiterate that karma is the driving force that brings the people, places, things, situations into your life, into your world, your relationships, family members, neighbors, coworkers, classmates, everybody in your life is there karmically. And if I know that I've been in places where I wasn't relating with anybody. I just wasn't relating with anybody. Nobody even seemed, I felt invisible. And Jane Elizabeth has talked about this in classes, probably on videos too, where, she would go places and people wouldn't even see her. They wouldn't even make eye contact with her. And what she learned about that was, I don't have any karma here. There's nobody I have karma here with, so I'm completely invisible. And how strange is that? How strange is it to be in the middle of lots of other human beings and not have any connection? But you might have felt that before too. It's like, wow, I don't really relate with this group. Well, because you don't have karma with them, right? Oh, I really relate with this group. Well, there's karmic connections there. Our life plan, your life plan, every life plan is made up of all the karma that we've done in the past and the desires that we have. And it has a purpose. Our goals and experiences are here. The goals that we have, the desires that we have, and the experiences that come to us are there so that we can learn how to have a better connection with our soul more than our world on the outside, more than our personality selves. I had a few questions come to me this week about desires based on something that I shared before. So I wanted to, they were really awesome questions. So I want to incorporate them into this discussion because, you know, I think as we're looking and applying at our desires and how our desires are creating our lives, then, you know, questions can come up, right? And anytime we're talking about karma, questions can come up because we're learning it. Again, it's like learning another language. So we're trying to, you know, apply it and go, well, yeah, but what about this? And what about this? So one question that came to me this week was, you said you were a seamstress in a previous lifetime. Last week, I talked about my seamstress lifetime. And then I came into this life and I didn't remember how to sew at all. So how does that fit in with other things we've talked about in this series about that we accumulate karma, our skills and our desires from one lifetime to the next, and we never forget what we've learned. So how is it that I was this amazing seamstress in one lifetime and I came and I can sew a button on a shirt and that's about the extent of my sewing abilities in this lifetime? And I thought that was a wonderful question because, well, yeah, of course, why wouldn't I just keep getting better and better and better at being a seamstress, right? And be on New York, you know, stages with whatever. But yes, we are, while we're accumulating skills, desires, and karma from one life to the next, they don't play out the same each lifetime. So the seamstress was a desire that I had, was done. That desire was done, but the skills stayed with me. So I use those seamstress skills for other things like creating a PowerPoint presentation, or I've done newsletters in the past. You know, I work on my own website for my private practice. And, you know, so those things I can weave together, so to speak. And I have a weaving lifetime too, way back when. So all of the skills are used, even though the expression is different. Another example is, you know, if there's a lifetime where I was just madly in love with somebody and just wanted to take care of them and love them, and I just wasn't done loving them, then they may come into a lifetime with me where they're my child, which wasn't exactly what I had in mind in the lifetime where I just was so madly in love with them. But there's a desire to love and to take care of and to serve. And if the best way for me to do that and to fulfill that energy would be to have that soul as my child, then that's how they're going to come in and express. So our desires have energy, but that energy is formulated into our life plan in whatever way it's going to work to help us work through that karma. So, and that desire. So something to think about. It's like, you know, so Jane has said in classes and videos, you'll probably come across this sometime where she said, you know, you might have a desire for a Mercedes. And oh my gosh, I love this, you know, 2021 Mercedes that's out. And it, you know, I want it in red. And I just am so excited. I want that. But in this lifetime, I don't have the karmic credits to purchase it, but that desire is so strong that I will come back maybe three lifetimes from now and find a 2021 Mercedes, or maybe there won't be any around, so that desire has to be used some other way, you know. So we don't, you know, our third dimensional mind wants to think that, okay, if I desire this, I'm going to get it exactly the way I want it. And sometimes that happens, and we're not necessarily happy with that either, right? Because it has its opposites. But other times, the desire can get fulfilled in a whole different expression of, you know, in our world and what that looks like. So knowing that, because, you know, I think as we talk a little bit more about desires here, we can erroneously think, and I think there's some teachings out there right now that are very popular where it's like, okay, well, all I have to do is desire it, all I have to do is work towards it, and we think it's going to look a certain way because we're looking at it from a third dimensional perspective with third dimensional logic, and that's not how it always works out. Sometimes it does, once in a while, but not always. And so we need to be aware of that too, because it can be disappointing if it's not the way we think it should be, right? I bet nobody's experienced that before, right? Okay, so another question, awesome question that came in was, what if I still have desires? Aren't I supposed to be giving up my desires? I'm like, oh, I'm moving into the fourth dimension. I want to be more spiritual. Don't I have to give up all my desires? Our soul evolution is driven by desire. It's how we grow. We've accumulated many desires over many lifetimes, and we'll continue to fulfill desires until our strongest desire is to move fully into our spiritual beingness. And that's why it's important for us to look at our desires, because there may be a desire that, or more than one, that needs to be fulfilled. And we have to, if we have a desire that's stronger than our desire to move into the fourth dimension and move beyond human desire, then we need to fulfill that desire. It's got, it's mathematically required if it's got more energy than our desire to be humanly desireless. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no wrong answer. There's only free will. So I have this desire, what am I going to do with it? And we do have desires that need to be fulfilled, and we need to honor that. I remember in a class one time, Jane was talking to somebody who had a question, and somebody who wanted to be a dancer. And Jane said, then you don't have the karma for that in this lifetime, but work on it, practice, dance, watch videos, go to classes, read books, put your energy into that desire if that's what you want, and it will be fulfilled eventually. Maybe next lifetime, maybe three from now, but it will be fulfilled. You will be a famous dancer, and that will be your experience, and you can fulfill that. And that's okay if that's the strongest desire. Or the other option is, well, look at that desire, release it. If release it, so at least you can take a step back and see, is that really what I want? Is that what I want to be putting my energy into, knowing that it's not going to be fulfilled this lifetime, but maybe next lifetime, maybe the time after that, but it will be fulfilled. And is that what I want? So, which kind of relates to our next question, which is, a desire came up recently so strongly, and I thought I had released it thoroughly years ago, and now it's up again. What's up with that? But our desires have accumulated energy over lifetimes. So when we release anything, our desires, our aversions, our people, places, things, situations, we're releasing a layer of it at a time. And maybe one desire has only two layers. So we have to do the work for that to release it, let it go, evaluate it. But maybe there's another desire that has four or five layers in there. So we work on, those top two layers, and we think, okay, well, I'm done. I got it. I got it. I figured it out. I've released it. I've let it go. And then we work on other things, or we're, healing this, forgiving that, letting go of other things, and then all of a sudden we hit a deeper layer, and there's that desire again. And maybe it feels stronger than ever. Maybe it feels like, oh my gosh, and this has happened to me a million times, where it's like, that is up again, and it's up stronger than it was. How can it be stronger when I've done all this work on it? How can that be? That's so annoying. But it's just a deeper layer, and so it's coming up to be evaluated again. Is this still something you want to release? We get, it's almost like we have, it isn't almost like this. We do have support beings around us. We have, Jane calls them out-of-body teachers. You can call them angels. You can call them whatever you want to call them, but there's our support. So as we're going through our inner closet, they're helping us. And, maybe we got rid of five pairs of shoes in our closet, and then our helper comes in and says, yeah, but you got these combat boots. Do you Do you want these? You've released three other pairs of combat boots, but here's a pair of combat boots. They're your favorite. Do you still want to let them go, or do you want to keep these? And we get the opportunity to evaluate that and let it go or not let it go. So there's always another opportunity to get clear on what we truly want and what we truly don't want, and the opportunity to release it and let it go. But it's our karma. That's where that free will, that law of free will comes in. It's your karma. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to use that energy and your time and your effort to research dancing or to shine your combat boots, whatever it is? Do you want to do that, or is there something else that is a stronger desire for you? Would you like to know what's on the other side of karma? Would you like to know what's on the other side of the emotional pain that we experience and the ups and downs and all the shiny goody things that we can experience in life that are fun and wonderful, but then end, so it's not like they're lasting? Or do you want to find out more? And maybe, and not maybe, we are doing our karma anyway. So we are doing our karma anyway, because everything is karma and karma is everything. So we're doing our karma anyway. So we can do it towards a goal like having the shiniest combat boots ever, or being the best dancer, or being the best this seamstress, or being the best that, whatever. Or we can use that to go, okay, this is a desire that I have fulfilled. I want to work in the best interest of my soul, and I know that I have to fulfill this desire. I feel it. I've explored it. I've taken it up the seven steps, that desire, and it's still with me, and I just know there's something for me to do with that. But I'm going to do it with my fourth dimensional glasses on. I'm going to do it with my spiritual glasses on, so that I can be working in the best interest of my soul and still do this piece of karma because it belongs to me. And maybe it's not an occupation, maybe it's being with a person, or maybe, whatever that is, we can use those desires, we can use those relationships. We need to use those desires and those relationships to support our waking up process, to support working in the best interest of our souls. Everything you do is spiritual. This is a phrase that's been coming up for me this last week, and I just want to share it because it's easy for me, and it might be easy for you to forget that everything that is happening is spiritual. Everything you're doing is spiritual. So whether we are making strides, whatever that looks like in our spiritual process, or whether something comes up and it feels like we take five steps backwards, we're not taking five steps backwards. It's an opportunity for us to say, oh my gosh, here's this pattern again. Here's this pattern again, and I'm still working on it. And what I have had a challenge with is in my spiritual journey is seeing something that I don't like about myself so much and really feeling bad about that for a long time. So I'm sharing that with you so that you don't do that. So good luck with that, and tell me how you did it because I want to know. But everything that is happening is spiritual, the ups and the downs, it's all spiritual, and we're learning and we're using each success is how we would judge that with our third dimensional eyes. Our each success is spiritual and it's part of our process. Each failure, or each time we go, oh my gosh, I did that thing I didn't want to do anymore, that is part of our spiritual growth too, because we can say, okay, so what is it? What else am I holding then that's causing me to get stuck in this pattern and repeat this pattern that I don't want to be repeating? It's there for a reason. It's there to help us be stronger. So use that knowledge that's coming up to support your soul. Meditation is so important to connect with our higher self and be more in that presence, more attuned with that intuition that's speaking to us all the time, that observer self that helps us go, okay, I yelled at this person instead of, you know, just showering them with love and light. Oh, you know, am I going to spend 5 days hammering myself about it? Or am I going to go, okay, so what was it that triggered me this time? What was it that I need, you know, what is that emotion saying so that I can work with it and move forward with it? So everything you're doing is karma. So support yourself with it. And everything you do is spiritual. So be conscious about it. Be conscious on your process. And, you know, for the, you know, today we're talking about, you know, I really wanted to give us some time to get into every cell of our bodies that everything is karma. So we're going to stick with that for today. And then the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about, okay, what, I got it. I get it. Karma is everything. I get it. This is karma. That's karma. Okay, so what the heck do I do with it? So that we're going to be going into more about working with our karmic situations and what we can do with them. So hang in there. There is a way out, as Jane says. So karma is fair and it is just. And this is something that Jane has said very clearly over the years. Karma is applied equitably to all humankind. It's a law, and everyone in the third dimension is under this law. Everyone in the third dimension is under this law. Nobody gets away with anything, even though you may think they do. They do not. If they're unkind and they hurt somebody, they end up hurting themselves one way or another. Karma is fair and just. You know, as I was putting this particular, as I was sewing together this particular PowerPoint presentation, I was looking up, you know, I was trying to find some funny things about karma. And when I was looking that up, there's so much, I want to say revenge energy around the visuals that came up when I searched for that, that I just couldn't, you know, there's a lot of, you know, karma will get you and, you know, karma is a BI, you know what, and, you know, and just kind of a lot of glee in somebody else's experiences and difficult experiences. And I just can't. And I will explain a little bit about that. I have a lifetime when I was a crusader. And several years ago, this lifetime was coming up for me to work with, forgive, release, let go, understand, and heal. And I tell you what, I did not like this guy that I was. I did not like this person. There seemed to be no redeeming value to him whatsoever over and over and over again. And the more I learned about him as I was doing my processing, the less I liked him. So I had a lot of forgiveness, self-forgiveness work to do. And there was one day that I was just like understanding how much I judged myself in that lifetime. And, you know, maybe I had my crusader lifetime. I was having lots and lots of fun pillaging and, you know, killing people and just doing horrible, horrible things. And, you know, then crossing over, leaving that lifetime and having that time between lives where I'm evaluating that lifetime and how much I judged myself and how guilty I felt for all the things that I did. And so I went to church the morning after I was looking at all this stuff. And I was like, so in my observer self, but in judgment at the same time of myself and just seeing how much I judged myself and feeling like I will never feel like a good person again. That is exactly how I felt because of looking at all of this and the energy, the emotional energy, the emotional pain around it was up so much, but I was also in my observer self. So it was this weird juxtaposition between like, yuck and wow, at the same time. And I went to church and there's this person. I don't think I ever talked to this person, but I walked by her and she had this snarl on her face and she looked me up and down and looked me right in the eye and like snarled at me. Like no sound came out, but there was this just look of like utter disgust. And I just looked at her and I did not take it personally. It's like, lady, let me tell you what, you will never ever be able to judge me more than I've already judged myself. Your judgment is nothing. Keep trying, because you've got a long way to go before you're going to match how I've already judged myself. And that is what happens. God doesn't judge us. We judge ourselves. We have a lifetime. And then between lifetimes, we're supported in evaluating our lifetime. But remember, we're not evaluating our lifetime from who we are today. We're evaluating our lifetime from the level of consciousness we were just after that lifetime was over. So we're learning by that review of our lives, but we're still lesser consciousnesses. You know, we're still not fully aware, even though we're between bodies, we're between lives, we have lots of spiritual support and compassion helping us with that process, but we're still not fully conscious. So, you know, so when I crossed over from that crusader life, I was very much, you know, I had a lot of guilt. So, I mean, to say that as understatement, so much shame. Another, during that time period also, 9/11 happened. And, you know, I'm sure we all remember where we were when 9/11 happened. I was at home. I had my 4.5-year-old who was getting ready to watch TV after breakfast for a little bit. I had my 6-week-old baby in my arms. I turned on the TV and there goes the second airplane into the second building. And obviously that was shocking. My 4-year-old, who is very precocious and understood what was going on to a certain extent, as much as her 4-year-old self and her big soul and a little body could understand. And I turned the channel really quickly. I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? And you know, that whole shock through the world happened through our country. And so anyway, so it was a few days later. And during that time, I'm processing my crusader and this guilt and this shame and thinking, this person who was responsible for this happening, he has no idea. This person today, who is responsible for 9/11, has no idea what that's going to feel like when he crosses over. And I had so much sympathy for him and for his soul. Let me say that. I had so much sympathy for his soul. Like, oh man, I know what I'm dealing with right now. I can't even imagine what you're going to deal with. And my oldest asked, my 4.5-year-old asked a few days later, she said, why did he do that? And I said, because he didn't know any better. And I just cried because I felt so much sorrow for his soul. Because karma's fair and it's just. And I will never revel in somebody else's discomfort or pain. There's just an understanding there that, oh man, I feel you. I know what you're going through and it's hard. And so we are agreeing right this moment that we will never, ever, ever use karma as a gleeful curse or or judgment towards somebody else, because we are all in it. And we'll talk about this in a little bit, but the level of judgment we have towards somebody else is the judgment we have towards ourselves. And that is the truth. And we need to look at that. That is very important for us to look at. All right. Deep breath after that one. So we have to change our view of how we've defined God and what God's job is in our lives. Jane, in the one of the videos in this lesson, says, I was a good girl. I did all that my mom and dad wanted me to, and yet God gave me a child with developmental disorders. What's up with that? I didn't understand what I had done wrong. Aren't I good? You know, because that was her idea of God. That was not just her idea. That was like many people's idea of God, is that like we do good things and God rewards us. I'm going to go to my next slide. And we've had, as humanity, we've had that view of God for centuries, you know, that God rewards you if you're good. God punishes you if you're bad. God needs sacrifices or this or that, or he's going to punish, like, oh my gosh. And we have believed that God judges us, but God doesn't judge us. We judge ourselves, and then we learn from those judgments and that guilt and that shame so that we can do and act better moving forward. So the rewards and punishments and judgments, that's not God, that's karma. That's just how the karma system works so that we can learn, so that we can grow. We learn through natural consequences. it's like a parenting system. Karma is a great big parenting system, and we learn through our own lessons. And it's tricky. Because if we're really going to understand karma, we have to let go of our third dimensional perspectives on what's happening, especially when it comes to logic and what is just. So I want to go back to talking about third versus fourth dimensional logic. And this was something that I brought in that I learned from Jane Elizabeth in my very first class that I ever took with her way back when. She handed out this chart. And it had all sorts of different descriptions of different forms of consciousness that explained that progression of a soul and evolution and from minute consciousness into our human consciousness into our fourth dimensional consciousness. So this is like one square of this giant 11 by 17 paper handout that relates with what we're talking about today. And if you want to look at more of this. You can. The lesson was from Soul Evolution earlier this year, and of course, any of Jane Elizabeth's video will help you understand this as well. So third dimensional logic is real, very black and white, very polar in its approach. So in our third dimensional logic, with our third dimensional minds, A is A, and A is not A. So everything is either A or not A. It's either this or it's that. It can't be this and that at the same time. It's very dualistic. So using my pirate friend, if a person is a pirate, they're only and always a pirate and should be held accountable for their piracy. It's that, hey, you have behaved poorly and you should make up for that. And that's not how it works. Or I have a terrible problem and it's awful. My terrible problem can't be good. It's only awful because I'm human and terrible problems are awful. That's how I look at it. Being in the world and being affected by every little thing, but from our fourth dimensional perspective, A can be A, but it also can be not A. There's a logic in the unity of it all. We'll talk about this a little bit more in the next slide. So the person can be a pirate on the third dimension, as well as serving an important temporary purpose. Because a soul is also a soul in evolution and a beautiful part of the whole. And they're working their own karmic situations through. And maybe, like in my situation, I got very clear that this pirate in my life that I felt so affronted by needed that role, played that role to help them through their piece of karma that they were working through, that they couldn't have not been a pirate and worked through that karma as beautifully as they did. So who am I to judge? I can't. Yeah, were they a pirate? Absolutely. And that pirate was necessary and beautiful. Necessary and beautiful. So it was both A and not A at the same time. And so what am I going to respond to? What am I going to respond from? Am I going to respond from my third dimensional understanding that this person was behaving like a pirate? Or am I going to operate from my fourth dimensional understanding that, hey, that pirate was necessary, soul and evolution. I'm going to keep my mouth shut about it because it's perfect. It's perfect. And we look at those terrible problems, it's awful, from a fourth dimensional perspective and see, oh my gosh, this is a Christmas present. This is a present from the universe helping me see something inside of me that needs to be changed, forgiven, adjusted, released, let go, it's going to help me grow. It's being in the world, seeing what's happening and being able to go, yeah, this is going on, but not being of it, not being affected by every little thing. And it's about, from this perspective, you know, again, I'm going to use that example of me looking at this pirate in my life who is now the fair maiden all of a sudden, and I can't treat her like a pirate. I don't have to, right? But I'm choosing to look at the situation from my fourth dimensional perspective so that I know, in the words of the great mystic Kenny Rogers, know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. Jane would always say that in her classes, and it's so fitting because we don't know when to keep our mouth shut from our third dimensional perspective. We know what to do. We know the right action to take from our fourth dimensional perspective, from our fourth dimensional understanding. So everything is karma is everything. Everything is karma. Karma is everything. So again, on the macro level, I want to talk about that a little bit too, because it helps with our, it helps with knowing that there's what we see as truth with a lowercase t, let's say on the, from a third dimensional perspective, that yeah, these things are happening in the world, but then we have our fourth dimensional perspective that also sees the higher picture. So both are true, but at different levels, and we respond differently depending on what level we want to come from. So in politics, oh my gosh, I'm not even going to go into any details about that, but oh, what president caused our current situation? It's going to be a different one next year. So, you know, different every day. There's this, oh, it's because of this president or that president. And, you know, we're not learning from our history. Oh my gosh, we're absolutely learning from our history. Look at humanity 500 years ago and tell me that we are not learning from our history. And also, we can say that, oh, we're not learning from our history. And then let's take that at a personal level. How many times has the same pattern come up for you? And are you using that to grow and change? Or, you know, would you say about yourself? Maybe you would. And so that's something good to look at too, but I'm not learning from my history. Oh my gosh, I'm doing it again. I'm not learning from my history. I'm never going to learn from history. We never learn from history. Oh my gosh, that is so not true. That is so not true. We do. And do we repeat the same patterns until we don't need to repeat them anymore? And we've learned how to release them enough that they're not an issue for us anymore? Absolutely. So that's happening at a macro level, but it's happening at a micro level within us too. So again, I'm hopefully, you know, I want to dissolve the fuel behind our judgments about people, places, things, politics, whatever, because there's a bigger picture. We're all in this together. We are all in this together. And why spend time judging it? You know, just take care of whatever it is inside of you. If politics are, you know, and I'm bringing up politics because I hear about that a lot in my work, and you know, and to my job is to hold that bigger picture of like, yep, people are going to have their feelings about it, and I just need to take care of mine, right? And that said, if there is a desire that's strong that says, we need to do something about this, and that's your desire, and you have a drive to do that, then that's yours to do. But if you don't have a desire to do that, then our job, like me, I don't have a desire to, it's too overwhelming for me to think about like changing the world on the outside in politics or whatever. I do not want that job. But then my job instead is holding the light and not adding to the judgments that are being slung back and forth all the time. That's my job. Hold the light. Hold the light. Do not add fuel to that fire, because it's a karmically created fire. It probably was created not by, you know, any of the last five presidents, but probably 400 years ago, So what's there to judge? We don't know enough. We don't know enough. And there's nothing to judge in the even with everything we do know, there's nothing to judge. So we just let it be what it is. And we look at public figures. Oh my gosh, I can't believe they got by with that. Well, it's their karma to get by with it. But it's their life plan, it's their life situation. They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Maybe not this lifetime, but they'll figure it out. Which we're going to take the long view. Maybe it'll take them 3 lifetimes to figure it out. I don't know, but they're going to do it because they're a soul in evolution. I don't care if I like them or not like them from a third dimensional level, they're still a soul in evolution, and that is the truth, and that is none of my business other than that. So big discoveries Jane talks about, that is karma used wisely to pay off debt. So somebody comes in and they, discover a cure for a pandemic virus, or a vaccination. That's good karma being used in service to humanity. And what a wonderful way to use karma, to pay back karma. Maybe they were responsible for killing a whole group of people in some other lifetime. So they're coming back to pay that back and it's like, hey, let me help people this time. Let us help people this time. So it's all good. It's all good. So we always evolve positively, and this is important to remember when we're looking at sometimes those world situations that karma is not all bad. If there's a piece of karma that we created, if there's a piece of karma a country created, there's karma between countries, there's karma between leaders, there's karma, everything is karma. Everything is karma. So we will always have the opportunity to change that into a positive one. And why do we always evolve positively? Because we are created with the DNA of the universe, of infinite intelligence, infinite love, infinite wisdom. So we cannot not evolve positively. We can make some pretty yucky decisions sometimes that don't support us, but that's an opportunity to learn. That'll be just something, okay, well, screwed up there. I'll just have to make up for that and I'll keep moving forward. But we always evolve towards the light, so to speak. And there is a plan. There is a plan. So we are looking at this third dimensional stuff because we're trying to understand how things operate and how things are set up. But if there's a third dimension to move out of with all its opposites and karma, then there's a fourth dimension to move into and many dimensions beyond that. But we're just looking at the one we're moving into, which is a greater understanding of this law of karma and how it operates in our lives. And we will be continuing to talk about karma because karma is everything. And we will continue to be talking about how do we untangle our own little ball of karma. I had a good friend who, when she was pregnant, she had this t-shirt that said, "This is my great big bundle of karma." That is, I'm carrying around. It's very, very cute. So we have our own little bundle of karma in our worlds that we're taking care of, and it's our responsibility to take care of it. And we want to do that with as much awareness of how to do it as possible. And we can't work through it if we don't understand what's happening, because again, from a third dimensional perspective, everything seems random and unfair and, just wacky sometimes. But from a fourth dimensional perspective, we can look back and see all the random pieces and see that, oh, this is patchwork karma. This is what it is. It's like, okay, well, that piece is coming up, even though, so this person's been this pirate, and before that they were just a normal human being. And then they put their pirate hat on, and then they took the pirate hat off because they were done with it, and they put this, veil or this tiara with flowers and, streaming vines of beautiful smelling flowers down. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you were just a pirate. But it's like from the fourth dimensional perspective, of course, yep, you're done with that one, checked it off your list, you didn't need it anymore, and now you're moving into this one, and everybody loves you. So fascinating, and it makes so much sense. So there's a plan. There's a plan for humanity waking up. Again, looking at things from our third dimension, this person is treating me horribly. But from the fourth dimensional perspective, I've treated them worse in another lifetime. They actually are pretty pretty forgiving there with what they're doing today. So how can I use this to heal? I'm forgiving myself. Oh, it's terrible what's happening in the world from our third dimensional perspective. But from our fourth dimensional perspective, there's collective karma being worked out, and my job is just hold the light. Unless I have some big desire that I know is mine to do in the world, my job is to hold the light and take care of my own karma and my own face. That's up for me. The videos in the self-study lesson on karma are fabulous. And one of them is called Walking the Karmic Tightrope, and we're going to keep coming back to this one. I know I talked about it last week, but we will continue to talk about it because it is rich with information and support. We continue to uncover the mystery of karma, the mystery. There is no mystery. The mystery is in the third dimension, because in the third dimension, nothing makes any sense. But in the fourth dimension, karma makes everything feel sane and in order. Because it's really not a mystery. Karma is not a mystery. It's a logical and fair movement of energy designed to support our soul's evolution and our involution, meaning moving within and being able to learn more about what's who we are. Who we are not as human beings, but as spiritual beings. And we're learning to unravel our karma and becoming more aware of what questions to ask when things come up, right? And I know I've heard this from people in our Thursday group, that they're applying what we're talking about, and they're, instead of, oh my gosh, this terrible thing happened, they're saying, okay, this terrible thing happened, A and not A, this terrible thing happened, so how can I use this to support myself? Or here's the karma that's happening in my world, and applying it, and so even if you don't have time to join us on Thursday nights, I hope that you're applying also all this to your own life and thinking about it and thinking about things differently. So, why is this person in my life? Why is this pirate in my life? And what do I need to do about it? Maybe the answer is absolutely nothing, which it is for me. It's absolutely, in that situation, it is absolutely nothing. Just notice it and stop complaining. That's my job. Notice it and stop complaining about it. And what a beautiful understanding that is. Or the situation, job, or any kind of situation that you have that's different than just a one-on-one relationship, or maybe a relationship with a group, coworkers, whatever. What is the situation here to teach me? What's mine to do? These are the questions we're asking ourselves. So this slide is moving us into what we'll be talking about more next week. Karma, the opposites. The opposites exist in the third dimension. Karma runs the third dimension, and our emotions are what help us understand our own karma, as well as, which is intertwined with, what are our healing needs? What are our healing needs at a soul level? Even if we're just healing something in this lifetime, we are absolutely 100% healing something from other lifetimes as well, because it's all related. And anything that's happening in our lifetime today was created from another lifetime. Period. Period. End of report. So if we're healing something, a relationship in this lifetime, we are healing it. We're healing a whole string of karmic patterns, at least one layer of it. Maybe it'll come back for us to heal and work on many times, but we are working on our soul healing. Whenever we identify our emotions, here's our spiritual thermometer. It's just a wonderful way to help us identify our emotions and when something's coming up for us, when we're below a five, when we're seeing things from our third dimension. Our third dimensional perspective is below a five always. So if we're in our emotions, that's our third dimensional perspective saying, "Hey, I'm hurting, and I'm angry, or I'm sad, or I'm scared," and it's coming up for us to look at and say, "Okay." Because from our above a five self, our fourth dimensional perspective, we can say, okay, I hear you. Come on up. I feel you. It doesn't feel good, so let's look at it and spend some time with it and see what we can learn. Because it's all about learning. It's all about learning. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's not easy to look at. Oh my gosh, I was just so behaved so unconscionably in other lifetimes. And I pride myself, my little personality in this lifetime has prided herself on just being a nice person, which serves me half the time, but it doesn't serve me all the time. So being able to see, okay, well, I've got to balance this out. I can't just be nice all the time because I'm going to get walked over and get walked over by my own self sometimes too. So looking at ourselves, our emotions, our intentions, and learning how to stop our emotions long enough to be able to examine them and look at our motivations, and this is what's required in order for us to move beyond the opposites of human emotion and understand them. Does that mean we don't feel anything? No, it just means that we're not, that we are, our emotions are taken to a higher level. That's what it is. So for this week, some of our questions are going to be, when did you first have an understanding of how karma operates? And even if it's just now, even if it's the last few weeks that you've been looking at karma, or the last few months, or whatever, whatever it is, 30 years, 40 years, how does this understanding, how does your understanding of karma change how you're looking at your life? And then think of a situation you're moving through right now, and what are you doing to stay observing of the opposites so that you don't get sucked into them and are drowned by them and are able to say, okay, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling? Let me just sit with this. Maybe I don't know why I'm feeling this, but I know I have to forgive that person. So let me just do that forgiveness work, and then maybe other insights will show up. A lot of times it does. Sometimes our insights don't come until after we've done our forgiveness work. By the way, we don't always get to know. I didn't get to know what was going on with that pirate in my life until I took them up the seven steps and processed and forgave and detached myself from being all wound up in their behavior. Then that revelation came of like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I just thought that pirate behavior was so unnecessary and wrong. Because it wasn't, it was perfect and beautiful. So, how are you helping yourself get stuck in the opposites? Are you using that spiritual thermometer to say, okay, I feel that coming on. I'm starting to get down below a five, so that's my sign to look at something. And why would it be useful to move beyond the law of karma? That's a question to ponder. I'm not even going to say anything more about that. We'll be talking about that a lot. All right, so let's take this time to just have a little meditation time. Oops, let's do this. There we go. All right, and we just settle in. We're just going to take a minute or two to let go of all of that information. And open our minds, our hearts, every cell of our bodies, every cell, every atom of energy all around us to open. Be receptive to whatever our souls need for this week. We tune in every day and ask every day, what do I need? What's my soul going to show me today? What do I get to see about myself today? I know we are supported. We're always supported. Our job is just to stop and listen. Ask whatever question we have in our minds and our hearts, just ask. And the answer will come forth. And we breathe in and take a step back and just see that whole see the whole world in light and love, knowing that we all are moving towards more light, more love, more understanding, more of our spiritual expression. And that's the only way the plan can be, because it's all of God's substance, infinite consciousness creation. And I take another deep breath and just let that light settle in and move with us in our day, our week ahead. I invite you to come and hang out with us on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. We have lots of fun. We move forward. We support each other so beautifully, and just take things to the next level. And the Center for Enlightenment is supported by your gifts. We thank you. It all goes to support these important teachings that the center provides. And we thank you. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love and your own reflection within yourself. It's so beautiful. Have a wonderful week. I look forward to seeing you next week. And hey, karma is beautiful. We're going to take it to support our souls. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.